Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast.
Their crazed faces, illuminated by torches, veins bulging and bearing the fangs of racism, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile heard across Europe in the 30s.
Noel, we have it, folks. It's official. His nickname, Sleepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe.
As opposed to Creepy Joe.
As opposed to Sleepy Gene, which I'm playing for Sleepy you here in Daydream Believer. But yeah, Sleepy Joe. Donald Trump tweeting out a few minutes ago, "Welcome to the race, Sleepy Joe."
Let the games begin.
Let the games begin. It's going to be funny. And you see what Biden's doing there. You see the tact he's taking already. He basically just compared the Trump administration to Nazism. That's the first place he went to try to fire up his base in his announcement for president. So it's going to be a long 18 months. Can I just tell you what?
I personally don't think, I think Joe Biden's going to do what happened around here locally in our Senate race and pretend like he doesn't have any primary challengers. And just, I think his play is, I am Trump's competitor.
His first rally is going to be in Pennsylvania, which he's focusing on because Hillary Clinton didn't. So he thinks if he can cement Working Joe, Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe in Pennsylvania, he can win it all.
I liked Breathless Biden. You got that one out earlier.
Breathless. I am Batman.
Breathless
Biden. He sort of sounded like Michael Keaton in Batman. I am Batman. He seemed angry in his opening video. We'll get to more on that coming up here. We've got JJ Carafano at 8:37, Tom Ackerman on the Blues at about 8:45 or so since they play tonight. Right now, though, let me get to my guest. He's Mark Krikorian, Executive Director for the Center for Immigration Studies. And Mark, great to have you back on the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You bet. So I see this this headline coming out of the White House this morning that the mother of all caravans is now heading up through Mexico to the U.S. border.
Yeah, it had 20,000 people in it. The Mexican government has actually been pretty aggressive in trying to break it up, and so it's smaller than it was. But the interesting thing is that the Mexican government has, you know, it basically decided they don't want to allow these caravans through anymore because it's a political problem for them. As long as the illegal aliens from Central America, and not just Central America, now Haiti, Africa, Cuba, as long as they do it in small groups where American news media can't get pictures of big crowds of people, they don't mind. They're okay with that. It's the pictures, it's the media coverage that scares them because of the reaction that they're going to get from the United States. So there is a big group coming, but there's always groups coming, even if they're in smaller groups, not big caravans. And we have to make sure that we don't get distracted just by the shiny object of a big caravan, because even if there's no caravans, there's still 100,000 Central Americans a month crossing the border and turning themselves into the Border Patrol. I mean, this is a Angela Merkel-level disaster, like we saw in Europe, three and a half, four years ago,
right,
brewing, even if there's no news pictures on the Associated Press of, you know, 1,000 people walking together, breaking down a fence.
Right. No, I agree completely. And you know, wouldn't it just be easier if Mexico has finally determined this is a problem? Wouldn't it just be easier for Mexico to stop them from coming into their country to begin with? They do have fences and walls along their southern border, don't they?
Well, they don't have walls, but they do have border control.
Okay.
And What they're trying to do is a combination of things, keep them from coming in the first place, trying to keep the ones that they give these, they have these humanitarian visas now, trying to keep them in the south of Mexico. And there's no question there's more Mexico can do, but, you know, there's a lot of corrupt police in Mexico, and, you know, you bribe somebody, some guy is working for the, you know, is paid off by smugglers and looks the other way. The central government in Mexico can issue an order. It isn't necessarily going to always be fully complied with. And the real problem here is the magnet that's drawing these people. And the magnet is our asylum policy
Sure.
that leads to catch and release. If we end catch and release, Mexico is still going to have some people trying to sneak through, but it'll be a smaller, more manageable problem for them.
You know what? I keep waiting for the day when somebody on the left is going to be honest about this. Maybe we're starting to see a crack in that veneer. I saw where, of all people, Thomas Friedman, who's been a longtime left-wing columnist for the New York Times, finally traveled to the border and then wrote a column on the fact that he pretty much agreed that a wall was the only way to fix this problem.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, Friedman actually in the past, and Krugman too, the other lefty columnist over at the Times, have in fact said things occasionally in the past, sort of acknowledging the reality that it's a problem down there. But
yes.
There's no way that any Democratic politician running for the primary is going to be able to say anything like that. In fact, Julian Castro, who's former whatever he was, Health and Human Services Secretary or something under Obama, he released an immigration plan that said Congress should change the law so that it's no longer a crime to sneak across the U.S. border. So if anything, they're going in the other direction, getting crazier on immigration, not more sensible.
It is absolutely frightening. Mark Krikorian, thank you for your input on this. I'll direct people to your website, CSI.org, correct?
CIS.org.
I'm sorry, CIS, Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, see you now. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Good deal. All right, did you know about that? I have not seen a single news story on a column of 10,000 people marching up through central Mexico. I was clueless about it until yesterday, and that's when I reached out to Mark Krikorian to find out more about it.
I had no idea until you sent that story over.
Time to send Griff Jenkins down there again from Fox. He's about the only reporter who goes down there and covers the story anymore, at least to tell you what's going on.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. To the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Deeply moved when President Trump made his historic decision to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And therefore, after the Passover holiday, I intend to bring to the government a resolution calling for a new community on the Golan Heights named after President Donald J. Trump.
But that's how it goes.
Think we could get Sleepy Joe an address in that town? Maybe not.
Biden Street in Trump Town.
Maybe we could get Joe Biden Avenue right in the middle of Trump Town. What do you think? He'd like that, wouldn't he?
You said address. I heard address.
And
I was wondering
sorry.
Why we wanted Joe Biden
an
address.
Maybe I mispronounced that.
No, you did
Maybe
great.
Maybe I was lazy.
We could probably get Biden
you're
address.
Not lazy.
I don't know about in Israel, but.
That's funny. You know, apparently they ran a poll in Israel. And Trump was more popular than Netanyahu during that last election cycle. Netanyahu won, but they said if Trump went to Israel and was, you know, could run for president, he would win as president of Israel.
How often do they have new towns? When was the last time the United States had a new town somewhere?
I don't know. It's a good question.
But there's a new town apparently going to be in the Golan Heights called Trump.
Do we ever have new towns?
Well, sure we do.
When?
Well, I mean, like, for example, Wildwood became a municipality. It formed its municipality back in the mid-90s, like 95, 90, late 95, something like that. They had an election, and they basically chose to incorporate an area that used to be unincorporated St. Louis County. So then you had a new city with a new government, a new charter, and all that. So, I'm sure it happens all the time.
So they got to come up with the name Wildwood at that moment?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I go.
I was with you. I've never experienced that.
I thought no towns got named since like the 1800s. Yep. I thought that was the end of it.
You, all the towns were here
right.
when they settled this land. All the towns existed.
Wow.
Yep.
A little history lesson for you there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's good. Yep. See, I'm glad I could help.
Are you going to visit Trump Israel?
I would love to. I don't know if I could get my wife
That's
to go,
what
but
it'll
I,
be called.
You know,
yeah.
I've got a friend who works over there. He works for a charity called the Christian Friends of Israel. And I've had him on the show a few times, and he's begged me to come over there. He said he'll put me up. All I got to do is get myself to Jerusalem, and he'll give me a place to stay. I'd love to go. But my wife's she's a little worried about, you know, the fact that occasionally Hamas just lobs mortars into the place. I don't know why she thinks she'd be there when that happened, but she's a little worried about it.
Yeah, especially the Golan Heights. That's not going to be the touristy area.
Yeah, that may not be the prime place you want to go, but you can still go visit, like, Nazareth and the area where Nazareth, you can still go there. Tourists go there all the time.
Yeah, and it's very safe.
I'd love to take that trip. I think that'd be a good trip.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
It is a cyber war. Unfortunately, because our commander-in-chief is compromised, the federal government is asleep at the switch.
At JJ Carafano.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Jim Carafano, happy Thursday, my friend. How are you?
Happy, happy.
Happy, happy. Tom Perez there making the same point that Hillary Clinton did in her op-ed that Russia is still a threat and Donald Trump's not doing anything about it. What do you think?
Right. So I love when you get sound bites from nonpartisan objective analysts. About,
like Tom Perez.
Yeah, like Tom Perez, right? Because, yeah.
Head of the DNC.
No, but, yeah. Look, I mean, a lot of this stems from reporting was that before Nielsen, who's the Secretary of Homeland Security, left the White House, she wanted to brief the president on all they were doing to stop Russian interference in the 2020 elections. And apparently Mulvaney said, oh, don't do that. Just make the president angry or you think that you're undermining the legitimacy of his election. One is, we don't know if any of that reporting is true. I just had breakfast with someone from the White House, and I said, well, here's the thing, but I got to tell you, this is just in the press. I don't know if it's true or not. He goes, yeah, I saw it in the press too, and I don't know if it's true or not either. So on half of these things, who knows if they're actually true? And,
right.
And more importantly, who knows what the context of it is, right? So there's a big difference between the president doesn't want to hear about this, maybe he didn't want to hear about it that day for whatever reason, and that the government is actually doing nothing, right? So they cherry-pick what they want, and then they draw these huge, massive narratives, and it's all just political spin. It's not real analysis. And I think most Americans, when they hear stuff like that, you know, they've already drunk the Kool-Aid, and, you know, they're halfway on their to living in Jonestown, or they go, look, these people are yahoos, and I'm not paying attention to them. So that was, you know, as far as I was concerned, 15 seconds of wasted airtime.
Yeah, well, it might be, but, you know, Hillary Clinton wrote this Washington Post op-ed about why Trump's done nothing, Russia robbed me of my election in 2016. I mean, that's her mantra, and then Donna Brazil is out defending Obama handled it.
Let's take Occam's razor here. Do you remember Occam? He owned a Chick-fil-A in Huntsville. You know, he was this philosopher who said the simplest explanation is the most likely, right?
Yes.
So let's just look at this objectively. If you could spend, maybe, pick a number that the Russians spent.
$1 billion.
$5 million.
Okay,
whatever.
All right.
Who knows what the right number is? And you could swing a national election. Don't you think that somebody would have figured that out by now and done that?
Right. Right.
So, no. I mean, it's just, it doesn't even pass the common sense test that somehow the Russians, who are 3,000 miles away and aren't any smarter than our people, they can manipulate the 320 million Americans and the outcome of an election, but Democrats and Republicans can't figure out how to do that. I mean, come on. I mean, it's laughable on its face.
I love today, and I know that you do policy and not politics. I love today, though, that Donald Trump already tweeted out his nickname for Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
Welcome in, Sleepy Joe. This ought to be fun.
It's funny. Somebody asked me, said, well, can you talk about Biden's record on foreign policy? And I thought, oh, yeah, the guy's been in the Congress for like 40 years, and he was the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm like, does he have a foreign policy?
I don't know. Does he? I talked to Jim Talent about it a little earlier. You know, he's with the Bipartisan Policy Center. He looked at a lot of this, and he said, really, Biden is the only one of the 20 that's even stepped foot into foreign policy.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting because so far there has been zero conversation about foreign policy. And, you know, you could, although what the only one that said, three of the candidates come out and said, we'd rejoin the Iran deal, which is interesting because by the time they took office, the Iran deal will be almost over. So I don't know what they're rejoining. But part of it might be that, you know, the foreign policy is actually pretty good.
Thank you.
And so they want to start arguing foreign policy with the president. You know, I don't think it actually gets them very far.
Well, and again, what Biden went back to in his speech today is that he rolled out was Charlottesville. And he wants to go back to racism and basically accuse the president of being a Nazi and just like the Nazi party in the 30s. And
this is a great strategy, right? Which is because what you're basically saying is everybody that voted for the president must be a Nazi or a racist. Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Which is a great way to convince them that you're a better candidate. But again, that's not a partisan comment. I'm just observing here.
It's just a basket of deplorables. That's kind of where we find ourselves back.
Only a deplorable would vote for the president. Okay.
I thought it was pretty funny. But they're already putting polls out for the election in 2020. The Daily Mail had one out today that if the election was held today, Joe Biden would win by 8 points. At which point, I went back and found the Newsweek poll from 6 days before the election in 2016, where Hillary Clinton was up by 12.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So here's the thing is, there's already 19 candidates in the race. Right. And so he is very late to the party. A lot of people have already signed up with other candidates. So he doesn't even have a monopoly on the infrastructure. He does not have the endorsement of Clinton or Obama, and he's very unlikely to get that. Because they're not going to pick a winner or loser in this race. So his resume is literally the only thing and name recognition is literally the only thing that has sets him apart. But it's 6 months before Iowa.
Yes.
Right? Or more than 6 months before Iowa. So those advantages are paper thin. I think it's just a scramble.
Apparently, they're going to have a big hot tub party. Did you hear this?
Come on in. The water is warm, Joe.
Kamala Harris wants him to...
I do not want that picture in my head, my friend.
Kamala Harris wants him to put on the boxer swim shorts and get in the hot tub with her.
Yeah, I'd rather have a picnic in downtown Mosul.
No kidding. Well, good for you out breakfasting with the White House this morning. Glad to hear you're named. You can't name drop for us while you're on here?
No, name drop.
Okay, that's good. And I appreciate that.
I mean, technically, I wasn't even in the White House. I was breakfasting near the White House.
Near the White House. So sources say.
Immigration, border security, a lot going on. People waiting to see what Jared's plan is. I wrote a really good piece on this on The Hill.
You put
in Carafano, The Hill, what Jared Kushner should tell President Donald Trump. And I wrote an awesome piece in Fox News, the three things the president should do to really show he's serious about this. And one of them is deport 1 million people. there are 1 million people in this country that have exhausted all their legal appeals and have been ordered to leave the country, and they're just hanging around.
And many of them have been ordered to leave the country by Barack Obama's administration, but they're still here.
Yes, there's 1 million of them. And somebody says, this is simple, Mr. President. Just say, I'm going to go find that 1 million, and I'm going to ship them out of the country.
That's right.
Go do that.
I love it. We've only got 10,000 more coming up from Mexico right now. I mean, what's 10,000 more?
You have to empty the pool before you can fill it back up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
You bet. At JJ Carafano there on Twitter, heritage.org. You heard him say he's got articles at thehill.com and also on Fox News. So go look those up, and I'm sure they're outstanding.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I can't talk real loud because Hillary's in the next room. She won't let me be on the phone. I don't know why. Anyway, listen. You got to ease up on me. You got to ease up on hell.
hours we're in that house. You're a real piece of...
End of message.
These are the kind of voicemails I get all the time. Oh, you know man. What I'm saying? I mean, it's a problem. I mean, now I've got the attention of the Clintons.
Happens when you're a big deal.
I'm telling you what. You know what I feel like? You know what I feel more and more like all the time?
I'm a big deal.
I feel like Joe Biden. And I know what he goes through now.
You're very influential. You got me thinking about a glass of red wine.
Yeah, thank you.
The old soul red wine. I want some wine.
Thank you. And a nice glass of bourbon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got some Four Roses over there. It's good stuff.
It's almost Friday.
You bet.
I'm going to hit this theme.
Yeah, please.
Hit it.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
If I remember correctly, Tom, you said that Dallas wasn't your first choice for them in the next round, but at least they've got home ice.
Yeah, at least they have home ice. I mean, yeah. I didn't really want them facing Winnipeg either, but they beat them.
True. That's true.
You know, think about it. Think about the teams that are gone now. The Tampa Bay Lightning set a record, tied a record with 62 regular season wins. They're gone. The Pittsburgh Penguins, the multi-Stanley Cup winning Penguins, the machine in Pittsburgh, they're gone too. The Capitals, Stanley Cup champions last year, eliminated last night. They're out. The Predators, out. The Jets, out. I mean, the Blues have a really... really good opportunity here. Now, they'll have to beat the Stars, who are very good and feature a very tough top line and had some very good wins against the Blues this year. But you know what? Blues got it done last series. They're feeling good about themselves. Place will be cranked up tonight. It's going to be a blast.
They got a couple extra days of rest, right?
Yes, they did.
Then over Dallas, so that's a good thing.
They did. It should be great. Yeah, I would have rather seen them play Nashville because of the regional battle and, you know, the fact that the Blues outplayed the Preds all year. But so what? It's the playoffs. Anything goes. It's a different level. Let's go.
You going tonight?
I will. You know, I actually have an event tonight.
Right.
With Mike Matheny.
Okay.
The former Cardinal manager is holding his foundation benefit tonight, and I will emcee that, but it will be over probably around the end of the first period.
Where's he coaching now?
He is working for the Kansas City Royals.
Royals, okay.
And I think he will be a big league manager again.
I think that he will, too.
I will. Maybe with them.
Is that right?
Could be.
Could be. Yeah, that's good stuff. Interesting. So I get a special treat this weekend. I'm going to get to see the Cardinals twice.
Oh, good.
A buddy of mine called me up the other day and said I have an extra ticket for Friday night, and then I was already planning on going on Sunday. So the weather ought to be beautiful. And the Cardinals have what, the best record in the NL right now?
Cardinals have the best record in the National League. They're 15-9. They are hot right now, and they are beating people with offense, and now their pitching starting to come around a little bit. I think once the starting pitching gets locked in, they're going to be tough to beat.
Loved your tweet the other day with the picture and pointing out that Yelich is 0-7 at Busch Stadium.
He's 0-7 at Busch. Yeah. They found a way to quiet him, didn't they? And the Cardinals are, I think, a very balanced team. The best hitter on this team right now is Paul DeJong. He's been solid all year as the number three. And Jose Martinez has been crushing it. And then you have some stars like Goldschmidt and Ozuna, Matt Carpenter. You know, they're
Fowler stepping it up.
Fowler's been carrying things lately. This is a very good baseball team. Make no mistake about it. They have some issues here and there.
Right.
But they all do. And the Cardinals, it happened very quickly. They became the best team in the National League. Now, this will be a huge test next weekend. They go to Wrigley. I cannot wait. I mean, I'm licking my chops. I think that's going to be an awesome weekend of baseball, those two. And the Cubs are playing a lot better. So that'll be a great weekend, a great test to see where the Cardinals are in that big rivalry.
Who's our closer? I watched the other day. Hicks. He was throwing 104 mile-an-hour fastball.
He closed the game with 104 mile-an-hour fastball. He has thrown the 10 fastest pitches in the major leagues this year, all out of his hand.
I told you I went and played at the Rascals when they had that amateur game out there last year.
Yeah.
And they had Brad...
Thompson?
Thompson was there, and he was pitching for the other team. And I get up to bat. And I later asked somebody, how fast do you think he was throwing? They figured he was throwing still in the 80s somewhere.
He probably is.
And I honestly never saw the ball.
You can't see it.
I didn't see it. 80 miles an hour, and this guy's throwing it 100. I don't get that.
You can't see it. That's why pitchers, the people ask, why can't pitchers hit? Because they don't get the at-bats that the other guys see. It takes, your eyes have to adjust. They can't see
the ball as easily as some of the others.
It's there in a blink of an eye. No, I whiffed. That's for sure. Never got near it, man. I hear the thunk, and then I'm swinging the bat, and the ball was already in his glove.
Can you imagine 104? Yeah, no. Having to make that decision.
No, I can't. Tom Ackerman, thanks for your time, my friend. Happy to have you in here on Thursdays.
Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.